SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Yes, sir. We are back. Moneyline on a Wednesday afternoon. 4-1 New York Mets over the St. Louis Cardinals. Top of the second inning. So we'll see where this game actually ends up and see how many more runs they can put on the board, because we still do have two men on as Kevin busts out the chips here for our number two. Pre-game. What are we, pre-game partying over there for wrestling over here?
I didn't know what kind of sound I was making.
Man.
I got to just embrace it. I'm starving over here. Right, here's what happened. I had a light lunch. It was my own fault. I got empanadas, right?
Oh,
and I thought,
from where? The Bell?
Real, yeah. They got a little market down there. They're very good.
Right.
They're very good.
Yeah.
But they got them pre-made, right, at $5 a pop. Or frozen, right? You can get them frozen, Dottie, for $6 for $20. So basically, you're saving $10 if you get them frozen. I'll go home.
Yeah.
I'll handle the business, right? I threw them in the air fryer.
Yeah.
Terrible idea. They were all on top of each other. They kind of stuck together. Also, it turns out I think I needed more than three because I was splitting them. So I'm a little hungry, Don. I'm grabbing a skinny pop. Very healthy. Very healthy.
There you go. I mean, we'll see how long that gets you before you can drive down to Philly and get a nice steak and cheese with some Gouda on it to see how that plays in this city of brotherly love. Yeah, exactly. Can I get some celery on there and ranch? Better yet, go to a chicken cheesesteak, which actually chicken cheesesteaks aren't that bad. I gotta be honest with you. I can't hate on that, but a true nice cheesesteak, deliciousness. And hopefully you'll be able to find a spot. But also, talking about finding some spots here. We have a game coming up here, Kansas City Royals, Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
This game is at a 6.5 now. And if you're saying that is ridiculously low, well, just keep in mind, it will be 39 at first pitch with a wind blowing left to right. So not much help in this environment. Also, a team that can't get out of its own way at the plate, the Chicago White Sox, and a team that I don't know what they're even doing in the way at this point at the plate, Kansas City. This line opened up at 7.5 and dropped to 6.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Look, it looks like the first game's going over. Like, 6.5 is a ridiculous number. It's really hard. Like, unless, Kevin, you're like getting Max Scherzer and like Clayton Kershaw 4 years ago, and the pitchers have to bat. It's like, okay, I can see a 6.5. Even though both of these sides do play two unders, it's such a low number where there is absolutely no margin for error to say, boy, this game should end 4-1.
Oh, it's so low, as you said. I almost don't want to bet the two hits plus in the first inning market. You know what I mean? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like, each team's 1-2-3 to get a hit should never be -112, I feel. Right? Like, that just sounds so silly to me. But it makes sense, right? Because the expectation is under. I wanted to throw something at you, a player-specific prop of Andrew Benintendi, who is -135 to get a hit, Donnie.
Yes.
Career numbers versus Dylan Cease, small sample size, 4 of 10, obviously very good. But beyond that, Donnie, batting .389 on this young season, second-best batting average in all of Major League Baseball. Do you have some underlying numbers that would maybe justify Benintendi with this hot start being -135 to grab a base knock? This guy's on a big-time hitting streak. I don't understand it.
Yeah, not a big power guy. ISO power number at 111 through 49 at-bats versus right-handed pitching, but it does have a very good weighted on-base average. Actually leads the Kansas City Royals with a 428. And the thing that you like also, K percentage, very low. 14% strikeout rate against right-handed pitchers. So you know he's putting in the ball in play. Not a lot of pop, but if you're just looking for a market to get a base hit, it makes some sense also. You know what I was going through today? Because I do have RBI prop from a guy on the Angels, which I'll go over in a little bit here. But the market where you can do on DraftKings, where you can say, okay, was he going to get a single, a double, obviously a home run, as opposed to just saying, like, okay, he's going to get a base hit or is he going to get a certain amount of bases? Like, if he just gets a single tonight, I'm not looking at his numbers, but they were very advantageous. Like, you got to figure now, cooler temperatures, ball not traveling, who knows what's going on. The first bet I would make on a player is probably to get a single as opposed to any other type of base hit, and it pays really well. It pays really, because you can go into it and say, okay, let's just say the hitter prop parlay, right? Let me get this guy to get a base hit, this guy to get a base hit. Yeah. Double, triple, home run, all that stuff's fine. But you can really get down with some of these good plus, I'm talking like to get a single, like plus 170 as a base hit. And it's not like, well, if he gets a double, that cancels out. No, he has the whole night to get a single, which is probably the most prevalent base hit, I would think, for players in baseball.
Yeah, I agree. I continue to look at some of the Benintendi numbers, Donnie. Again, just to kind of emphasize here, 15 games played, a base hit in 12 of them. So again, that's minus 135 for something he's done. He's 12-3 to the yes. And Donnie, in his 12 games with a base hit, 7 of them are multi-hit games. So plus 440, Donnie, he is 7-8. Like, as a record on, yes, multi-hit games, at plus 440. I mean, I don't understand. Like, what were the Benintendi numbers? I mean, Don was just got, like, 2-1 to get a base hit before the season started. Why do they dislike Benintendi so much in this market?
Yeah, I don't know. It's maybe they're just lumping it in with bad Kansas City Royals hitters. But I got two things. JP is going to join us right here after the break. Number one, to give out a hot play of the day and get a W. Number two, these NFTs make no sense, and I'm pretty sure it's money laundering at this point here. So, guys, if you want to jump in with us, 844-843-6879. This is Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shooting jumpers, baby, this afternoon on Moneyline, 844-843-6879. If you want to get into the mix, Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. And we got to bring on the man behind the wheels of steel for two questions. Number one, the people need a winner tonight in the NBA. And then I'm going to get to the second question, which I need answers to. So what do we got, JP? Winners tonight, where are we going?
Let me take a look at what I put in. One second.
Oh, my God.
This is good.
The world's best
out. Okay, I got it. We're taking the Drew Holiday under at 20.5 points. It's even money.
Oh.
Okay. Wow, so a blowout, maybe sitting in the fourth quarter. Could see it there. Going with the anti-Giannis plays where everybody goes under, but yet Milwaukee wins easily tonight. I can see it. Now, the people got winners tonight. Drew Holiday under. I need some help with this, JP. Adam Schefter tweets out, more on the Houston Texans offensive tackle Laramie Tunsil minting his draft night gas mask video into an NFT and donating a portion of proceeds to charity. I'm sorry. Like, I know I'm a little bit older here, but never once has it occurred to me to go buy. Like, should I make my own NFT and it seems like I'll be a billionaire by next Tuesday? Is it that easy out here?
It's, I mean, this is just a bull market activity. Like, someone's going to buy it for a price that they shouldn't and instantly regret it and never see a return on it. But that's not the ultimate goal of NFTs. But someone will buy it, I promise you.
Like, I don't know, like, the NFT market. Like, I just see, like, random, like, you know, painted pictures on a computer. Oh, this one just sold for $400,000. What? Where is the value in the future of this? Like, is there an infinite number? Like, you know, I see, like, Bitcoin. Like, well, there's only a certain amount of Bitcoin out here. That's why it's worth it. Is there a limited amount of NFTs, or are there hot NFTs to buy? Like, what is this market here? And why can sports players like Laramie Tunsil get involved and actually make money? And who would buy it?
Yeah, I don't know who the buyer on the other end of that is, but to your point, there is an unlimited amount, but there's like an unlimited amount of real art. It's just whatever people decide has value. Like, it's like buying, say, digital Picasso for some of it.
Like, when they have like the digital monkey with the sunglasses on, and that's like the hottest NFT. Why? Like, who wants that? And the point of it is what?
I want one. And the point of it, I don't know. They just the return on investment. If you minted one of the Bored Ape Yacht Clubs a year ago, they just passed their 1 year anniversary, is over 3,500x. So there's people out there buying.
There you go. So maybe okay, dub in the NFT market here.
Now I got a question though. So Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? Is everybody very familiar with? Just kind of
No idea what that is. You
kind of do, but you know.
It's like Billionaire Boys Club.
So JP, is everybody looking to find the next one? What's the deal there?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's trying to find good teams and things to invest in. I personally myself make my own investments and theses on what I think is next or close to next, but that's for each to do their own research.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I guess, Donnie, like, it's kind of, you know, people want the ability to, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like buying an expensive piece of clothing, right, Donnie? Mm-hmm. I guess. Like, I understand the clothing is tangible, I can put it on my body, but, like, online, Donnie, has become so important that to have, and JP, tell me when I start sounding nuts here, but I probably won't because I'm the world's most correct man about all things. But JP, like the ability for somebody to show up to your profile and you have the, you know, the ape with the glasses and the cigarette, you know, that says, hey, look what I got. And you don't have this and I rule.
No, that's a perfect way of putting it. It's almost becoming like a digital social status thing to have some of these NFTs. That's a great way of putting it.
So but what about people just stealing like NFTs out here? Like, oh, I got this one, and no, this is the right one here. Like, I
now and you click on them, you can tell.
Oh my goodness, man! Like, I
right, JP?
I
mean,
yeah, they're tied into contracts, and if it's not on the correct contract, everyone knows it's a fake. And it just to anyone that would care, you look stupid. So that's how that goes.
Mm. Like Biggie Smalls used to show the Gators on his shirt, right? Yeah, it's a fake. Yeah, that's what it is. The old NFT. There's always gonna be fake NFTs out there. Yeah. Like, bow, why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place. I mean, it's whole thing with Biggie Smalls out here in the streets. But anyway, so that's NFT talk. And we got some Biggie Smalls talking here. And we got JP giving out winners over here. But now it's time to get to this Major League Baseball card with the Mets threatening again here in the top of the third inning. First and second, one out here. And it looks like Davis is at the – ooh, that's a shot there. Ooh, nice play in left field. A diving stop. So runs taken off the board there. So 4-1, underbackers rejoice here. No score yet here for the Royals and the White Sox. 0-0, only through the top half of the first inning as the Royals did not get on base. Now the White Sox struggling at home. We'll see if they can get on base. But again, Major League Baseball card today, 3:40. Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, they're going to get underway here. What about hour and a half at this point now. Heavy favorite. By the way, not as heavy as you would think here. Opened up at a minus 196 price, Kevin. Now down to 176 here at FanDuel and an 8.5 on the total. Now, I do see some eights across the board at DraftKings, FoxBet, and MGM. The roof is open, so some heat and some humidity allowed in the building. Could that have a difference today? Let me see what the actual temperatures are. 91 degrees at first pitch. That's what I like to see. Oh, yeah.
Wait now, that sounds tangy. Hold on a minute here. Now,
Urias, I know it's the lefty.
Yeah, Urias, Julio, as you know, I call him J-U. We're very close. But Julio U. But Donnie, what's the deal here? What is the deal with Gallen? I know this is a guy that a lot of people had some expectations for from the Diamondbacks farm system. He came out really, really strong, or, you know, kind of, I mean, it came up with Miami, this, that, and the third, you get the point, but kind of a young arm for the Diamondbacks, Donnie. Is that 8.5, Donnie, or 8 kind of representative of the weather's pumping up the total, or do they think there's good arms on the mound? What's the deal?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because if you look at Gallen, he's got a 4.29 xFIP, which isn't too bad. Ground ball percent, or excuse me, I should say fly ball percentage is 50%, and that's what's going to kick up your xFIP a little bit if you're giving up fly balls, because that probably means eventually you'll be giving up home runs. But if you take a look at Zach Gallen through 33 batters this year in 2022, he's a right-handed pitcher. Lefties through 20 at-bats, a 148 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 0.50, which is tremendous. But then you look at the right side, same thing, a 173 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 0. So eventually the fly balls will catch up, but certainly not taking place right now. And you're going to have a pretty good lineup here, obviously, for the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's one of those where you say, hey, let's wait till the lineup card comes out for most teams just to make sure your star power is in the lineup. There's star power every single time in the lineup today. Betts, Freeman, Turner, Muncy, Bellinger, Taylor, Rios, Lux, and Barnes are in the lineup today for the Dodgers. If we flip it over to Urias, he's got a high xFIP number, but also, reason being is your five ball percentage, close to 50%. Walks a little bit over to, actually 11% here, so a little bit high. But he's at that 5.69, but he also, through lefties and righties, he's done very well to lefties, which, again, he is a left-handed pitcher, a 106 weighted on-base percentage and an ISO power number of zero. Righties, their ISO power number, 097. And there's not a lot of pop in that lineup for Arizona. So I see that number, right, the 8.5s, the 8s out here. And you want to say that the Dodgers are going to carry the day, but that's not necessarily the case. It might be one of those where you wait out the starting pitchers and try to get into the bullpens here and have some success. Because I'm not interested in jumping in right away to an over 8, quite frankly, or 8.5 here.
Yeah, one thing that just jumped off the page to me, Donnie, was, you know, we kind of always talk about our hitter prop parlays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't Mookie, right, Donnie? That's a guy that you would always look to. All right, let me put Mookie Betts in, Donnie. And this is where some of the early season struggles can come. Bo Bichette yesterday didn't answer the bell. Donnie, Mookie Betts, 190 he's batting right now in the leadoff spot? 190.
Yeah. 156 ISO, 320 weighted on base average to righties this year through 56 at bats. He's got to be better, and will be better right here on the Money Line as we dip into the Major League Baseball card next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash that Nerfy. Royals White Sox 0-0. No runs, no hits, and no errors after one inning. This is Moneyline Wednesday afternoon. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh as we're keeping you up to date here on some of these Major League Baseball scores. And now the Mets getting threatened here by the St. Louis Cardinals. Bottom of the third inning. 4-1 game. The Mets have the lead, but you do have two runners on and nobody out. The heart of the order, Tyler O'Neill, is up right now with Nolan Arenado on deck. So we'll see if we get some launch points in this game. But as we continue down the path here of some of these Major League Baseball games, we just talked about that Dodgers-Arizona Diamondbacks game. Milwaukee and Pittsburgh set to do some damage today. First pitch, Kevin, 41 degrees in that game as we start. But you do have some winds blowing out to left field at about 12 miles an hour. So we'll see if that makes any difference. But another one of those games where not a ton of juice overall, but if you're looking from a side perspective, Ashby and the Brewers, a minus 174 price, another low total listed at 7.5. And quite frankly, going over this game, the lineup that actually makes more sense with more green lights in it is on the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the reason I say this, if we look at Milwaukee against left-handed pitching this season, absolutely dreadful. Every single person in that lineup for the Brewers is below average in Major League Baseball against left-handed pitching. Weighted on base averages, Kevin, 286, 287, 245, 213, 187, 236, 299, 116. Dreadful. So we looking at another auto under here at a 7.5 price? My goodness.
It feels like we always are. I did want to ask you, I'm glad we stopped at this game. Ashby going for Milwaukee, Donnie, fits more of that opener distinction. He can, at least, right? He's appeared four times, only once mm-hmm. as a starter this year. So it doesn't have to be specific to Ashby, but in general, Donnie, because we're getting closer, I think, right, to play of the days and feeling a little bit more confident on the board when it comes to baseball.
It's coming. Mm-hmm.
For you, when you are going through the board and you come across a Tampa Bay Rays game where they're throwing an opener, but that opener is a guy that can kind of get lit up. But do you almost have to disregard those games, Donnie, because you're looking to target a guy for four or five innings and the guy's destined or designed to only be out there for two at the most?
Yeah, they're not great games, but also now with the, you know, amount of information that you do get around Major League Baseball is they're going to tell you who is going to be the actual guy coming in behind the opener, like the long relief guy. So you could do a correlation, but is it my favorite thing to do? No, because you usually like the lefty-righty matchup because openers could go for two outs, six outs, two innings, one inning, and it sort of throws off your calculations of what you're actually looking for because if the guy gets blown up early, which is great if you're looking to take a total, but if not, sometimes we'll leave him out there a little bit longer, which then makes it the guy who's coming in for the long relief. He doesn't have to work as hard, and typically with the Tampa Bay Rays, they don't let that guy go long anyway, two times through the rotation. So when you're talking about a Tampa Bay Rays game, sometimes it is a little bit harder to try to gauge those teams as opposed to just somebody that's, okay, I'm going to send my starter out here. Let's just see how long he goes. Update here. Mets, St. Louis Cardinals, 4-3 now as we had a two-out single by Nolan Arenado push through some runs. So that is seven already from a game that was lined at seven, and it's only the bottom of the third inning. All right, your favorite pitcher on the mound today. Vladimir Gutierrez and his 8.17 xFIP here. And this game is a 6:40 first pitch. San Diego and Cincinnati. Gore, the lefty on the mound for the Padres. Gutierrez, the righty on the mound for the Reds. This total listed at 8.5 across the board and a heavy favorite for San Diego at a -174 price. Here's the issue that you have. Just because pitchers are bad doesn't always mean that the opposing team can abuse bad said pitcher. Because quite frankly, the lineup that the Padres are throwing out today is quite disgraceful here, both with ISO power numbers and also weighted on base percentages. You also have guys in the lineup like Jorge Alfaro, who have faced 22 right-handed pitchers this year and struck out 50% of the time, which tells you that you're not even putting the ball in play. But if we flip it over and say, okay, how do the Cincinnati batters match up against the young kid Gore, the lefty on the mound? Not very well at all. They're going to stack right-handed bats against Gore. The only issue is Gore, as a lefty, has dominated right-handed batters this year. He's faced 33 of those, a 195 weighted on-base percentage, and an ISO power number of 125. And if you're looking for any help from the back end of this lineup today for the Reds, Votto versus left-handed pitching this year, a 0 ISO power number. Farmer, an 048. Nick Senzel, a 0. Aristides Aquino, a 0. Garcia, a 0. So good luck here trying to squeeze offense out of this game from either side, apparently, here, Kevin.
Now, let me just say, though, this is a very bizarre, it's a bit of a bizarre happening, Donnie. These are two teams not in division, and we have already, in this young season, Donnie, seen this exact matchup. And I don't mean Padres-Reds. I mean, a week ago, it was Vladimir Gutierrez versus Mackenzie Gore, and it was a 6-0 in San Diego Padres victory. Now, again, baseball, like all sports, are not Groundhog Day, but I think that's something to consider, Donnie, is that they had legitimate success there against Gutierrez, and basically an awful Reds lineup wasn't able to touch Gore. And I don't know how much film work was being done by Cincinnati as they go and see this kid for a second time.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in that game, but certainly not a stellar pitching matchup. We talked a little bit about Seattle and Tampa Bay earlier today on the early line, but didn't talk much about here. Colorado and Philadelphia, 6:45 first pitch tonight. Philadelphia Phillies bats seemingly coming alive. We'll see if they can do the same thing tonight, but if we're taking a look at some weather conditions here, 49 degrees at first pitch with the wind blowing in, so not optimum scoring conditions here. Feltner doesn't have any starts in Major League Baseball this year, quite frankly. I'm going to think that, oh, he did actually last year. wasn't bad. Only had 33 batters that he faced and basically got torched by those 33 batters. So we'll see his debut this year for Feltner, the righty, going up against Colorado today, Kevin. Ranger Suarez on the mound and his 5.32 xFIP number. Now, it's interesting here. He is a lefty, dominating lefty bats, but struggling a little bit against right-handed bats. He's faced 50 of those this year, a 365 weighted on base percentage. Low iso power number, though, of 143, but we'll see if this lineup that's going to be right-hand dominant for the Rockies, see if they can do some damage. But if we're looking from a price perspective in this game, the Phillies are a 220 favorite with an over-under at 8.5. So when I see that with that high price, that means somebody's due to get lit up tonight, even though it's colder temperatures. And I'm going to say maybe if you can get that 8 price here, you're more likely to go over than under, considering what I'm going to get out of the Rockies pitcher tonight. And maybe you can get something out of the Colorado's bats tonight with Rangers Suarez with a slightly elevated xFIP number in 2022.
I got to say, Donnie, I feel like we have a relatively, of course, important stretch of Philadelphia baseball coming up. So you tell me today, right, minus 220. Tomorrow, Zach Wheeler goes, and Zach Wheeler has been lit up for the most part to start this season. You're then going to go out there and play three against the Mets, two at home versus the Texas Rangers, and then you host the Metropolitans for four. Yeah, so you basically, Donnie, have in your next 11 games, four Rockies and the Rangers. No pitching matchup should see you a dog in any of those games. And then seven games against now the number one team in arguably baseball record-wise, yes, and kind of what the early returns are here in the New York Mets in your own division. Again, it's not make or break, Donnie, right? It's not this team better go out there and win 8 of the next 11. I'm not telling you that, but it does feel like an important stretch here early season for the Philadelphia team.
No, it does. It really is, because you don't want to lose too much ground to the Mets. And granted, there is an extra playoff spot this year in Major League Baseball, but quite frankly, the Phillies aren't really adept at finding these extra playoff spots because it's been so long since they've actually been in the playoffs. You don't just want to wipe off, say, you know what? We won't challenge for the division, but we'll try to get in it and get after one of these extra playoff spots in the wild card. As we continue to move down the list, let's take a look again at that Baltimore-New York Yankees game. If we take a look at the Bronx tonight, similar to what you're going to get in Philadelphia, about 48 degrees at first pitch, but the wind is blowing out to right field double digits. So we'll see if that becomes a factor, because Wells, the righty on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles, a 6.57 xFIP number, K percentage below 20%, walk percentage above 10%, Kevin, and an equal opportunity chance to smash this guy, as his weighted on base percentage is 450 to lefties and 398 to righties. So again, maybe this game, which the Yankees lineup still trying to work their way through the doldrums here of those early season unsuccess at the plate. There's a lot of guys in the lineup that have struggled against right-handed bats, right-handed pitchers. But having said that, Anthony Rizzo, three home runs last night, short porch in right field, wind blowing out to right field, an ISO power number through 54 at-bats versus right-handed pitching, Kevin, 465 with a weighted on base percentage of 483. Certainly doing damage, so it would not be a surprise to me, people, if Anthony Rizzo goes yard in the Bronx tonight. We'll come right back after the break, continue to hit this Major League Baseball card, talk some NBA if you want to get involved. 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
All right, segment ready for Major League Baseball. 844-843-6879 are the numbers here. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, and just went over the Yankees, talking about Anthony Rizzo with a legitimate chance to go yard tonight. Heavy prices here once again for the Yanks, minus 260 and a total of 8.5. Still cooler temperatures, but 8 out of every 10 tickets here coming in on those Yankees here, Kevin.
Do me a favor, Donnie.
Yeah.
As I make maybe too much noise back here.
Yep. We'll
pull up the Orioles schedule, okay? And, mm-hmm. and let's go through a little exercise.
All right.
When do you think, I don't have it in front of me, so it'd be great if Diamondbacks are on their way into town. When is this team going to be favored in a baseball game, Donnie?
Let's see here. Let's see what we got. So Yanks coming into town.
Right?
I don't think so. I don't see. Yeah, because I'm not on a sheet that will tell me if they're favored or not. But if we're looking here, you got two more games against the New York Yankees. You got three coming up against Boston. You have four coming up against the Twins. And then you have three coming up against Kansas City at home, Friday, May 6th, Saturday, May 7th, and Sunday, May 8th. One of those games they have to be favored in, right? Like, that's the one team that you would probably match up.
So it's the first one I think you're almost even, like, entertaining the conversation on. But here's the other – and because, by the way, after that then – so just back to that, like, here's the thing, too. We'll go back to the Royals thing in a second. I don't know if they will be favored in a single AL East game they play all season long, home or away.
Yeah.
I don't know if they will be favored in a single one of those, Donnie, which obviously is a massive problem as that takes up such a big part of your schedule. But even for the Royals, Donnie, like, who is the problem stopper for this team? Right? Because I don't. Nobody. Is John Means even back? Because that's who it would be. I mean, Jordan Lyles, Bruce Zimmerman, like, you know what I mean, Don? Like, where does the. Oh, okay, Zimmerman's on the mound. At least we feel good about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's not much help coming their way as you say, okay, this guy can get after it and possibly shut somebody down. Lyles, Wells, Zimmerman, and Spencer Watkins are the top four starting pitchers here listed for them, and that doesn't really give you a whole heck of a lot of, yes, that's the game that they're going to be favored in. So I do see them, they have to be favored. The Royals aren't going to go on the road and be favored in three straight road games. So that's where it's going to end, just a matter of which one of these average pitchers lines up. Because quite frankly, whoever starts for Kansas City, I can't see them even being in a favored role being on the road at that point. So that's a bad baseball team, but that's what you're going to get, a lot of them. And so quite frankly, you might be surprised that they've already won six games this year. Maybe you thought it would be less, but I don't think there's a lot of help on their way for them.
And just to kind of put it into perspective, the Reds have the Pirates, the Diamondbacks have the Rockies. Do you know what I mean? Like, forget, like, in the division. Like, Donnie, do you, if you had to guess, and I know it's such a big, what do you play? Everybody in the division, I believe it's 19 times?
Yeah, something like that.
So,
yeah.
What, like 38 times two, 76 baseball games, Donnie. I hope that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Out of the 76 AL East games the Orioles will play, Donnie, do you think they will be favored in any of the games?
Where they play who?
The AL East, the Red Sox,
yes.
The Rays,
no.
The Blue Jays, and the Yankees.
No, I don't think so, to be honest with you.
Crazy.
It is crazy. Maybe one game at home, like a pick'em? I don't know, but everybody else has a better pitching matchup than you and a better baseball team. I don't know if they will be, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, who is the worst starting pitcher between the Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Rays? Like, Pivetta is, like, the first name that comes to mind, which is crazy because he's, like, the number two on Boston. But, like how bad could Pivetta get that he's not a favorite? It's still minus 125, right? Like,
yeah,
I really think you've got, and that's it's kind of a full circle thing. Obviously, we're well past the futures win totals, you know, preseason conversations, Donnie. But people, how do you bet a team under, you know, 62 and a half wins? That's how. If they basically win 10 games in the division, it'd be a miracle.
That's what it feels like, right? It really does feel like that. Like how bad they actually are, because when you put them up against in a tough division. That's what we talk about. The winner of the division is going to say, okay, who beats up on the Baltimore Orioles the most out of everybody else as we all split there? that feels like what it's going to take place. So, Baltimore Orioles discussion, they're probably going to get their comeuppance tonight because they're close to a $3 dog. And we'll see what that line actually closes at. Some of the games that I'm interested in tonight, actually, in the Big A tonight, Chicago Cubs and the Atlanta Braves. Mark Leiter Jr. on the mound for the Cubs going up against Charlie Morton. This line is an 8.5 for the total and a minus 215 price. Now, as I look at this, it's one of the few times where I'm going to dip my toes in and take a team total here, and I actually really like the Atlanta Braves. Now, finally, you're talking about Atlanta. Weather at first pitch, 73 degrees, blowing out the right field, so you finally get a decent night. And if looking at Leiter Jr., he's probably going to be a pretty good pitcher in his time in Major League Baseball, but just not yet. 5.64 xFIP. He's faced about 35 batters, lit up from both lefties and righties, and that lineup for the Braves tonight can have a nice mix of left-handed batters and right-handed batters, and a lot of guys particularly doing damage. We talked about in the early line, first five guys in that lineup today, which is now official, Albies, Olsen, Riley, Ozuna, and D'Arnaud. All of those guys with elevated ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages, they should do damage. I went and took the Braves over 4.5 at a minus 125 price. I think it gets home tonight down in the Big A.
Now that is any relation to, because Al Leiter, that's
his dad.
Him though.
No, I think it's his dad, right? I think it's Al Leiter's kid, or is it more? I'm sorry, no, his brother then, right? Yeah.
Oh, this is his brother. I didn't know. Yes. I didn't know Mark Leiter Jr. was running around Major League Baseball. All right, shout out to
the
him.
Kid. I believe he's from Vanderbilt, right? Is he from?
Well,
Vanderbilt?
I know good one is that was like a top pick is from Vanderbilt, and that's
This isn't him. That's he's actually 31 years old, Mark Leiter Jr. So a little bit older guy. Parents Mark Leiter and Allison Leiter here. So this is not the guy that went to Vanderbilt here. Yeah.
But is that Al Leiter's brother Mark? Is that
I believe so. Yes, I do want to say that. Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
Now I'll be the one to ask the question.
Go.
Mark has a brother named Al and married a woman named Allison.
There you go.
That's outrageous. Come on.
You like that?
You go to the dinner table. You say Al. They both turn, and the kid turns. That's ridiculous.
Nah.
And you say Mark. Everybody turns. Like, Don, there's three names in that house. Come on now. There's 10 people walking around. You got three names.
Yes.
I mean, golly.
Just throw out the words Al. You could just use them for both, you know?
Yeah. Everybody,
cousin Jack Leiter. Yep, see that? So we got
guys. Oh, isn't that the one?
Yeah, he's the kid from Vanderbilt. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jack Leiter. So is there an Al Leiter Jr.?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think Jack Leiter is the other one here.
I can't even keep up.
Yeah, enough with the Leiters here. I did see Al Leiter pitch live at Shea Stadium versus the Braves 1 year back in like 2000. So a little kinship there between us.
Don, do you like going out to the games? I mean, you went out to the Sixer game. I mean, are you loving it or what? I mean, are you trying to get out to Sixers Heat, Donnie?
Yeah, that wasn't bad. I would go out to Sixers Heat. Like, it's nice because it's still an easy drive for me. You can slip in and out. And by the way, you know, I still wasn't feeling all that great. My fever had broke. But the fact that I got rained on out there, like, you wouldn't believe on that Monday night. But I am 1-0 in the playoffs. I got there. By the time I parked and walked in, I didn't miss any game time action. They were doing the starting lineups by the time I walked in and found the crew in their seats. That's when I got there.
No, but when did you leave the game?
Oh, no, I stayed all the way to the end. Like, the Sixers won. They played the song was playing out there, and we were out of there. And quite frankly, I wanted to leave at about maybe 2 or 3 minutes because they were blowing out the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'll be able to get out here and beat a little bit of the traffic. But there's no stoppages in play, like, the last 3 minutes. They just, like, walked up and down the court, chucked some threes, and I was like, okay, now I got to fight the crowd to get out of here. And the minute I walked out, I realized how underprepared I was for this moment because it was crossing my mind that while I was trying to get to my car, will I make it or will they find me frozen here laying in the parking lot? There was a moment.
Are you a guy that you go to leave the house and the wife goes, will you put a coat on, or are you usually respectful of the weather?
I am. See, here's me walking the dog, looking like I'm in the middle of Siberia, and my daughter comes out in shorts and a T-shirt, and I have to yell at her to be over-prepared. I am an over-prepared type of guy, but I was woefully under-prepared for the rain as I got soaked on the way in and even worse on the way out, which was terrible, but wasn't a bad ride home there.
You would think my dad doesn't own a jacket. Like he's, I'm just going to the car. What difference does it make? Like the second Donnie, the sun's out. It's like shorts weather. It's like, no, I don't even think that's how that works, man.
Yeah.
But if he ever tells me like, hey, kid, a little cold out, put a coat on. That's when I know I'm like, what is it? Like 12 degrees.
But also with the, like, I was never a huge coat guy, like dress coat guy through my 20s. Like, let's just say you and the crew were going out somewhere. I never brought a coat. It could be 32 degrees, but I feel like, what am I going into a bar with a coat on? You know what I mean? Like, I never would have. And even like if you're going to just like a family event, like, hey, it's cold outside. Yeah, but I only got to be outside for like 30 seconds because I'm walking in, and that'll be that. Yeah. So that's the type of guy that I am in that respect. By the way, one more play here for me in Major League Baseball. I actually took an RBI prop tonight, and this is going to come from the Los Angeles Angels game. And I'm not taking Mike Trout, and I'm not taking, you know, Anthony Rendon or even Shohei Ohtani. I ended up going here with Brandon Marsh, the lefty, who's supposed to bat out of the sixth spot tonight. 321 ISO power number at 477, weighted on base percentage through 34 at-bats versus right-handed pitchers, which Plesac will be tonight. And Plesac has struggled getting out of lefties. Now, also, Marsh has had hits in five of his last six games, RBI in four of his previous five, and has totaled six RBI in his last five games total. So I'm going to take a flyer this one. That's a 210 price. I think I want to dip my toes into this market throughout the summer as opposed to just like a hitter prop or a hitter prop parlay, trying to go for a little bit more there in a spot that I think makes sense. So I'm for a nice 210 ticket there in that aspect.
It's a big number, big number, big payoff. Yeah. I like that. I think it makes more sense with these hitter prop parlays than kind of maybe than I've been thinking. I've been looking a little bit at the Boston-Toronto series, as that's been an interesting one to follow. So far, Kike Hernandez, you know what the one thing that's crushing me though, Donnie, is, Bo Bichette last year must have finished every single game in the AL East with multiple hits.
Yes.
Like his prices are expensive, but he's been leaving me out the door a lot. I'd rather leave him kind of out of my plans. Verdugo, Kike Hernandez. You bring those guys together, you're going plus 106. They've got some numbers there because I think I got to leave Bo Bichette out right now. He feels like he's doing more harm than good for me. Crushed me last night. Crushed me.
Yeah, I didn't get my hitter prop either from the night before, so that was damaging. But I've looked to do some damage in Major League Baseball tonight. But also, we do have one more quick segment here after the break, so we are going to touch on the NBA. I'm going to go the JP route here in the NBA with a player to go over his points prop and also correlate that with his three balls going down. So I'll let you know who that's going to be after the break here as we close out Moneyline on a Wednesday. Big show, big night. We're ready to go. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Loaded baseballs are back. 10 runs, not even through four innings here in St. Louis as the Mets jumped out early, and now the St. Louis Cardinals have a 6-4 lead. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, quick segment before we're out of here. NBA talk. And I teased it before the break here, Kevin. Klay Thompson, over 23.5 points, along with over 3.5 three-point shots made, plus 123 price. Here I am.
Jordan Poole under 19.5.
Ooh.
Thank you very much.
He's not just going to be angry?
Time for Jordan Poole. Donnie, you know what they left him in a starting lineup?
Mm.
You know what that is? That's worse for his numbers. Because now he's really not the guy, Donnie. Now he's really not the guy. Come on now. I got to try. I'll try and pull them up, get a little more in depth, because they really only recently, Donnie, confirmed that this is how we're going to go here. I got to try and find out what is the number, because it's got to be super, super limited of games where Clay, Steph, and Jordan Poole were all in the starting lineup.
Yeah. So do we have the, now? Is the starting lineup official tonight? Because I think I saw either a Shams tweet of Shams momentum toward the Golden State Warriors having their most lethal lineup as the starting five tonight versus Denver in Game Five. Curry back in with Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond Green. Final decision to be made today. Dun dun dun! Warriors are back. Yeah. Kev hated the Warriors all season. He hates them now.
Correct. Correct. I mean, I don't like the Warriors at all. It's their own fault, though. Went out of there, embarrassed themselves, won two titles nobody cares about. Nobody left in the organization. Won finals MVP. Tough scene. Not my fault. It's theirs.
Nope, and it's not. But tonight, we'll watch it all play out. The games are on the board. We're locked and loaded. Let's win some Monday night and have some fun and regroup tomorrow. Why? Because it's the NFL Draft live from Las Vegas. And as Kevin said earlier today, the grid, yep, we got you covered for this one here. Well, thanks for tuning in once again to Moneyline right on the grid. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, we will see you tomorrow.